Reading from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Chapter 4, Text 85. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Aho Mahaprabho Bhakta Vatsalya Bharanirjita Krosyevam Api Sviya Chitak Aham Bhakta Paradino Yavatantra Iva Dvija Sadhudya Grasta Ridayo Bhaktai Bhakta Janapriya. I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent, because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires. I sit only within the core of their hearts. What to speak of my devotees? Even the devotees of my devotees are very dear to me. Bhagavatam 9.4.63. But doesn't the Lord's loss of independence pain the hearts of the devotees who love him? No, everything the personality of Godhead does attracts the devotee's hearts, which he fills with pleasure. He acts only for the satisfaction of his devotees and is always careful to avoid causing them anxiety. In the Lord's own words cited above, he is Bhakta Janapriya, affectionately concerned for the happiness of his devotees. The Vaishnavas are more than happy to see Krishna driving Arjuna's chariot and treating Yudhishthira with respect, because these exchanges of love between Krishna and the Pandavas glorify both the Lord, the servants he chooses to serve. Like an attentive parent, the Supreme Lord constantly fosters his devotees' spiritual development by everything he does. Quote, although fit to annihilate all the Danavas within a few minutes, I perform various pastimes just to entertain my devotees. Just as the fish, the tortoise, and the bird nourish their offspring by respectfully watching them, meditating on them, and keeping them in physical contact, so do I maintain my devotees, O lotus-born Brahma, Padma Purana. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Taksur Unmulatam Yena Nasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vairagya Bhakti Prasampayatnai Apayam Amanabhipsamandam Kripam Buhiya Paraduka Duki Sanatanastam Prabhumasriyami Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhayebhyascha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from New Jersey, and we're continuing our lecture discussion reading of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which describes the essence of the Lord's mercy, which is the experience of the Supreme Lord's love and the experience in return of one's love for the Supreme Lord. And we're hearing this regularly. Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. All that is inauspicious within the heart gets destroyed by this process. Nitya Sevaya. Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. By Nityam means regularly, really, every day, hearing from the sacred text, hearing from the the Shastra. What is inauspicious is thoughts that take us away from God, that thoughts that draw us into the world for the purpose of for sense pleasure in the mood of separating ourselves from God and establishing ourselves as the enjoyer. In the Patanjali Sutras, I'm studying that, so naturally I reference that. Those thoughts are called klishta, tormenting. And then there are thoughts that are called aklishta, which is the opposite. They're pleasing. And those are the thoughts that bring us closer to the understanding of our pure self, which is a pure particle of consciousness, a servant in the mood of service to God. So this process is very, very important. And we see, and I see that in myself, I'm trying to become more and more conscious of it. How many of my thoughts and my desires and my choices are unfavorable to my desired objective? I'm going to become more conscious of actually controlling those types of thoughts and desires. And factually speaking, you know, practically we're faced with those choices almost minute by minute. We're just sometimes not mindful of that. And, you know, the choice is to wake up at the appropriate time. The choice is not to do things which are unfavorable to spiritual life. The choice is to do things which, you know, that are favorable for spiritual life. And our success in spiritual life is making the right choices, because the right choices will put the proper thoughts in our consciousness, bring us closer to God, and enhance our strength in the future to make those proper choices. And one of the main ways that we can increase the purity of our mind and the strength of our will and judgment to increase our spiritual determination and actually become happy is swadhyaya, or study. And study, or means hearing. Shrinvata swakata krishna punya shravana kirtana hidyantsoya bhadani vidinoti suritsita. Punya. It's very purifying to hear about Krishna, to hear about God, to hear about the philosophy of the proper understanding of this world. And Prabhupada dedicated his life, and his followers have dedicated their lives to producing and translating in the proper way this type of literature. And this Brihad Bhagavatamrita is one of those efforts. They've dedicated, and how, you know, And our lack of study is due to our lack of faith. And again, faith is not just a black and white, I believe study is good. But faith is, I believe study is good. It's so good. It's so important that I will do it regularly. This, our thoughts were so conditioned. They're so conditioned to seek the objects of the senses in the improper way to entangle us in this world further. And one of the things that's going to stop us is discrimination based on knowledge. Why did Prabhupada so much, when he spoke, I'm going to complain on the basic things. Sometimes people say he just spoke the basics. The basics are the foundation. Without the foundation, nothing is built. And you know, as I mature in Krishna consciousness, I realize more and more how important those basics are. How you must be focused in the mind. When that mind goes, what's going to stop that mind? The consciousness, the awareness that the unbridled senses, which will give you some temporary pleasure, will simultaneously degrade the mind and reduce your spirit of joy and happiness. It will increase your sentiments for or your feelings of depression and hopelessness, because it's all the condition of the mind. And yehi sam sparsha ja bhoga dukkha yonena, the objects of they're the source of misery. It's a fact, we know it. But yet our senses still go external. We're still searching for things. But when we hear regularly, as Srila Prabhupada wanted us, and I thank the people on this Sangha, especially those that are the regulars, for giving me this opportunity for speaking, and also my admiration that you're also taking this time, because this type of process to hold these cherished thoughts within the mind of what is reality and what is our relationship with reality, to hold these cherished thoughts in our mind and contemplate them, that will give us the strength, the understanding, the determination. You know, we won't be thoughtless. Oh, let me do this. There's no effect. But there is effect. The things you do that are against Dharma, and Dharma is the science of responding to the world in a way that will be favorable for the consciousness. I'm guilty. We can meditate now. What are the things we do that are anartha, that are useless? But we don't do them with that sense they're useless. I'm speaking for myself, oh, this is not that, that's not, but it has an effect. What you are now is what you put into your mind and consciousness. So hearing this, but more in the process of bhakti, and because that discriminatory process, that understanding of knowledge is essential, and Prabhupada spoke very, very clearly on the importance of, not just spoken, this is important, he explained to us again and again. But there's two other factors that by hearing about Krishna and having this eagerness, it is Sunday, I'm hearing the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, by having this eagerness, it creates other impressions in the mind that strengthen your attraction for using the senses in the service of God. And by doing that, God is pleased. Shrindata swakata krishna punya shravana hijyanta stoya bhajani vitano. And because Suratitam, he's pleased and he's your well-wisher and he cleans the heart. So just wanted to share with you some of my enthusiasm that this somehow, that I continue to hear regularly, and my thanks that so many of you are sharing this with me. So we're in this beautiful progression, and we're up to the section of Hanuman glorifying the Pandavas. And we know that the Pandavas suffered, but Hanuman sees it in another way from a spiritual perspective. That those difficulties were a great sign of the Lord's mercy, because the Lord, out of love for his devotees, he manifests when the devotees have need. And it's not just the devotees have need, but a devotee is one who has need and recognizes his dependence on God. And that recognition of his dependence on God is a voice in the heart calling for God. So the devotee is fortunate. The devotee is recognizes his need. And the devotee is fortunate because the Supreme Lord will put him in circumstances that will help him to realize his need with the Supreme Lord. The Pandavas took complete shelter and the Lord was with them. The Supreme Lord was with them. And then Hanuman was also appreciating, and that's also discussed in this verse, that the Supreme Lord is subdued by love. And that's just the natural condition of the supremacy or the exaltedness. When a person is exalted, his heart is filled with love and filled with love for others. He's filled with love for God and those things in relationship with God. And when a heart is also exalted, when a person is beautiful, wonderful, that person spontaneously wants to serve those who have given themselves to him. So God is like that. When the devotees have given themselves fully to him, he's conquered by that. And that's a very beautiful thing. And he's so conquered by that he forgets his position as the Supreme Lord. And he serves his devotees. And he even takes subordinate positions. So Hanuman is glorifying the force of the Pandavas' love, that it bewildered Krishna. Krishna forgot his position. Because position is an intellectual consideration. I am, higher. I am God. I am, I am the lead. I'm guru. But it's an intellectual, the position, the sentiment is very, very powerful. That I want to serve this, but forget that position. And then Hanuman said, there must be some drug that they gave him. The Pandavas must gave him some herb or some drug. And now we're in this verse where the answer is given. What is it? That you are the Lord of the universe and that you became the driver and the order carrier and the gate man. For the Pandavas, what is it that makes you under the control of the devotees? And it is your conquered by the affection that you have for the devotees who give themselves, who give themselves to you fully. You're conquered by that. And the purport deals with a very interesting part. Of course, it gives a very nice expression of that, where the Supreme Lord explains to Durvasa Muni, because Durvasa Muni insulted Ambarish, and the Sudarshana Chakra, the Supreme Lord, chased him all around the universe. He had to approach the Supreme Lord personally for shelter. And the Supreme Lord explained to him, and this is the beauty of scholarship, devotional scholarship, that it can instill faith. You can give faith by devotional scholarship, and you can get faith by devotional scholarship. And again, that faith is not just, I believe this is true, but it's a depth of acceptance which inspires one to action. And the degree that you feel inspired is the level of your faith. When we were in Puri this year, and a very wonderful Vaishnav, and a great Vaishnav scholar, probably could say accepted as the most authority on Gaudiya Vaishnavism and Orissa, an elderly man, educated, saintly, came to speak. I spoke of him before, Dr. Fakir Mohan, and a lot of the students from the Bhaktivedant Sanskrit school in Govardhan, on their holiday, they come on our tour. And the first thing Dr. Fakir Mohan said, he looked at everyone and said, "So who is Tattva? Who knows Tattva, the spiritual science? Who is Shastra-gya?" he said, excuse me. "Who knows the Shastra? Who knows the sacred text?" And then with animation, he looked at people, "One who practices." So it's so nice here, Sanatana Goswami in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he has a point. And that point is the Supreme Lord is conquered by the love of his devotees. And therefore, devotional scholarship, he gives reference. And it's nice when you hear, because our faith is what? The faith, it's true. It's true because the spiritual master has taught this, and we have faith in the spiritual master because he understands, realizes, and represents the Shastra. So our faith is Shastriya Shraddha. So when you hear this, the point, yes, but then you hear it from the Shastra in different references in the Shastra, in different stories in the Shastra. It instills your faith. The Supreme Lord is subdued. He confesses this to Durvasa Muni. He says, "I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent. Of course, my devotees are completely devoid of material desires. I sit only within the core of their hearts. What to speak of my devotees, even the devotees of my devotees?" How much is he conquered? Not just by the one who's given their life to him, but anyone in relationship to that person. So this instills faith. So the question then is, does it pain the devotees that the Supreme Lord hearing about the Supreme Lord in this position of subordinate? Generally, you like to hear about those whom you respect, right? I said, make a little joke. I don't know if it's joke, but, you know, the Jewish mother, you know, never will say, my son, the taxi driver. you know, my son, the night watchman. Okay. They always want, they want to see the person in the my son the lawyer, my son the doctor, my son the guru. They want to see the in the position in supremacy. So does it taint that there's books written in the that the devotee, they love Krishna, and you know, my lord the taxi driver, my lord the watchman. But here, no, because it's not a karmic, it's not a demonstration of karma, that by some karma one is in a lower social, but no, it's a manifestation of love. It's an exhibition of the person's, of God's heart. And therefore, because it's a manifestation of the God's heart, the devotee is seeing how wonderful, and because the Supreme Lord is doing this out of pleasure, because the highest pleasure is to serve. He's seeing, look how the Supreme Lord is enjoying. And even the devotees in those personal relationships with the Lord, because there's such intimate love, if you ask someone whom you love, can you please get me a glass of water, you don't think, oh, you know, I'm disrespecting that person. No, but out of love, I'm exchanging love with that person. So the devotees see he's just acting for the pleasure of his devotees, and it's actually the most glorious, charming thing to see that. Mamapi puramam bhagyam paranam teshu madhyama bimasheno mamaprata kaniyam vayasapriya. It is my greatest fortune that Prithu's middle son, Bhimasena, is also my dear younger brother. So, very interesting here, because this is Hanuman speaking, and again, we are sharing in the ecstasy of these devotees, and that's the nature of poetry and drama, and why we hear about this, and it's very wonderful. So he's glorifying, and this is the nature of a devotee. Nature of a devotee is that he glorifies God and the devotees. That's the expression of his devotion. It's not artificial. And so Hanuman, it's interesting, and the purport brings this out very nicely. He was considering himself so unfortunate as compared to the Pandavas, because the Pandavas had, you know, Hanuman served the Ram, but Ram left. So Hanuman, compared to the Pandavas in his humility, was considering himself unfortunate. But now he's considering himself fortunate, because he's getting to glorify the Supreme Lord. So if someone is more exalted than us, rather than feeling despondent and thinking, oh, he's better than me, she's better than me, rather than thinking that way and becoming envious, we have the choice of glorifying those persons and becoming fortunate in that way. By glorifying them, we can become fortunate by glorifying these persons. And Vaishnava thinks in that way. He thinks his fortune is being able to hear and chant about those who are great. He doesn't become envious when someone's great. He hears and chants about that person. They have to be very careful in spiritual life to avoid envy. It's so easy because we've come to this world, Ichadvashis Bhutena, Dvandva Mohena Bharata, we've come to this world out of these feelings of desire and hate. So when we see someone who is more fortunate, the tendency will be to be envious. But rather, one should see our fortune to be able to see such a person or hear such a person. And we should glorify them. And if we glorify them, then we become fortunate, because that's made that person fortunate if he's a devotee. If someone's an exalted devotee, if someone's more advanced than you, the reason is because they have glorified those who are greater than them. So we also have that option. It's not that person has been constitutionally superior. He is great because he has subordinated himself or herself to those who are greater than him. So we can just be in that same line and glorify and worship, and especially the devotees. And there is ample opportunity, I have to say, I'm seeing that more and more, by Prabhupada's mercy, I'm seeing the effulgence of so many Vaishnavas, not just Prabhupada's disciples, but so many Vaishnavas who have subordinated themselves to the will of Srila Prabhupada. I've seen so many Vaishnavas, so many devotees, who are now themselves becoming objects of the Supreme Lord's mercy. I've seen now so many devotees. The parampara has not stopped, and it doesn't just mean one who is designated as guru. The parampara moves in many ways. I've seen so many devotees, so many by Prabhupada's mercy, all around the world, who have given their lives, and whose hearts are filled with love and devotion for the Prabhupada, the devotees, for others, for living entities, etc., who are giving us an opportunity to become fortunate by glorifying them. So Hanuman, he says, it's my greatest fortune. He's glorifying the Pandavas, and one of them happens to be his brother. He says the middle one, because the first three of the Pandavas, Yudhisthira, Arjuna, Bhima, and Arjuna, are the sons of Kunti, and Nakula and Sahadeva are the sons of, share the same father, but the sons of Madri. He says, my middle brother. And then he says, very interesting, he says, my younger brother. And the reason he says my younger brother is very interesting. It's pointed out in the purport. It's a little subtle. He's pointing out his that he's inferior. How? By saying he is my younger brother. Just indicating that, meaning that's only in age. That's why he's pointing it out. But actually, he's superior of character. There was a good example, and I don't know if it's true, but my older brother, the Saikhanaman's the older brother of Bhima is saying, and if it says my younger brother, my older brother always said that. He says my younger brother But he feels, because I've become a devotee, that I'm actually in a superior position. He spoke at my Vyas Puja, when we celebrate he got up and he gave the most stirring speech, very surprisingly. But he said that he is my younger brother, but I consider him older. So sometimes it's like that. You point out the age because the younger should be less. But you point out the age just to highlight that it's more. So he's in ecstasy now. He's glorified here. Swasvidana adi sakyena yasham yag anukampita tena tasyarjinasyapi piyomadrupavandvaja. Lord Krishna, by acts of friendship, like giving his sister in marriage to the Pandava Arjuna, showed Arjuna full mercy. And that Arjuna bears my image on the treasured flag of his chariot. Now he's glorifying Arjuna. He's glorifying individually some of the Pandavas, because he glorified them as a group, because they had a common characteristic of love for Krishna that subordinated Krishna to their whole family. And now, he's talking Lord Krishna by acts of friendship, like giving his sister in marriage to the Pandava Arjuna, showed Arjuna's full mercy, and that Arjuna bears my image on the treasured flag of his chariot. So Hanuman's, oh my God, that he had so much friendship that he gave his sister, who is a direct expansion of the internal potency. So it's not only Krishna's sister, but it's the most qualified person, the loving sister of Krishna, and Krishna approves the marriage. And then Krishna becomes the chariot driver of Arjuna, and these favors, the purport says, distinguish Arjuna as most here. And Hanuman has his own image on the flag of us. Arjuna takes that image. Prabho priyatamananam, Prabho priyatamanam tu, ananam tu, Vistaram paramam vina, Vasidyati priyaseva, dasanam nafalatyapi. Without the unconditional mercy of the Lord's most beloved friends, a devotee's loving service can never bear fruit. So this is almost like a little bit of a conclusion here. Without getting the priyatamanam, the most beloved friends or those who are dear to Krishna, without getting their prasad, and what's it, the padamam, their supreme, without getting the supreme mercy, bina, without getting that, nasidyati, you cannot become successful. You cannot become successful. And what cannot become successful? Your seva, your priya seva, your loving service. Without these devotees, nafalate, it will not bear fruit. We do activities to get some result. But without the mercy of the Lord's devotees, it won't bear fruit. This is just my experience. I guess I experienced the service not bearing fruit, but I know the cause. You have to get the mercy of the unconditional mercy of the Lord's beloved friends. You have to get the mercy. This is the system. You have to get this mercy of the ones who are priyatamam. That is Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it won't bear fruit. The service won't bear the fruit you want. The spiritual practices won't bear the fruit you want. And therefore, what Hanuman is saying, let's go. Let's go. Let's get that mercy. And that's the message to us. That's the message to us. Let's go. Let's get that mercy. Commentary. By now, Hanuman's ecstasy and unalloyed prema has awakened to such an extent that he feels stirred to go see the Pandavas at once. He's about to propose to Narada just that. One can never become a recognized servant of the Lord. In other words, one can never enter the rasa of dasya without the blessings of perfect devotees like the Pandavas. Even if one externally makes a show of such service, one will not reap the fruit of satisfying Krishna and enjoying transcendental ecstasy. Pure devotional service proceeds completely under the authority of the Lord's beloved devotees. It proceeds under the authority of the Lord's beloved devotees. The Krishna consciousness bore fruit, and people who followed Prabhupada and followed the followers of Prabhupada, and it bears fruit when they're under the authority of the Lord's beloved devotees. I was just in the Hartford temple. It's always a pleasure to go there. And the temple president is P.R.E. Mohan. And he's really funny. So he told me this one joke. And I don't know if you'll get it, but I certainly laughed hysterically. I see no reason you'll get it. But he said, you know, this is a joke that shows how people can become, he said, Prabhupada stressed this, how people can become proud of people come proud of everything, even their humility, right? Then Prabhupada said, someone said, I'm the most humble. And Prabhupada said, you're not the most anything. So he told me a joke, because he can reference Shastric points with modern jokes. So he said there was a synagogue. It was the High Holy Days, and they got a new rabbi, and he gave a stirring speech. He gave an incredibly stirring speech and of spiritual life. And when you hear a powerful sermon, then you understand that God is great and you're not so great, actually. So in the front row were the big donors of the temple who had the most prestigious seats in the High Holy Services, and they were people that had that kind of mood. So everyone was shocked when one of them came up to the rabbi publicly, and he looked at him and he said, I am nothing. I am nothing. I am nothing. Then the people even further amused. Another big donor came up, and he just looked at the rabbi and said, I am nothing. I am nothing. I am nothing. Then there was a janitor in the back of the temple. And the janitor in the back of the temple drops his broom and comes up right in the same thing. And everyone's watching. And he says, I am nothing. I am nothing. I am nothing. And then one donor turns to the other donor and says, look who thinks he's nothing. Now, because the phones are muted, I guarantee people are laughing hysterically. Okay. Anyway, I thought it was fun. But reading, when I was in the temple there, this wonderful story of this Brahmin who's coming to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when this Brahmin is coming to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when this Brahman is coming to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he presents this writings, and that's what people would do, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was meditating deeply. And to nourish his sentiments of devotion, people would compose poems and dramas, etc., because that's the way sentiment is nourished. So they'd write literatures, Rasa Shastra. But Srup Damodar would check it, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Rasika, he was a connoisseur. And when you're a connoisseur, it doesn't really help drama or poetry unless it's perfect. A connoisseur of food will only enjoy food that's perfect. A connoisseur of wine will only enjoy wine that's perfect. So a connoisseur of bhakti will only enjoy perfect bhakti, not mixed bhakti, and the perfect expression of it. So anyway, someone wrote something and it wasn't proper. And the subtlety of it was pointed out by Srup Damodar, who would check these things. And then Srup Damodar instructed that person became very humble, that if you want to understand the Bhagavatam, then you have to hear it from a pure Vaishnava. And this is actually the process. So this is how your scholarship will bear fruit. You have to hear it with faith in Guru Parampara. You have to hear it in the line of proper teachers who carry that tradition. You can't achieve full realization of the absolute truth by the speculative process. Because the manifestation of the divine is just beyond those boundaries. And it has to descend in teaching. He is saying you can't bear the fruit without this. Therefore, O best of Vaishnavas, most dear devotee of the Lord, let us go together to see the Pandavas and take shelter of them. Commentary, Hanuman's words indicate that he considers Narada as blessed as the Pandavas in receiving Lord Krishna's favor, because he calls him Bhagavata Shrestha, you're the best of the devotees. And then he says, Priyatama, same word, O most dear of the devotees. So he says Hanuman has this equal reverence for Narada, but since both Hanuman are servants in the Dasya mood, it is entirely fitting for them to visit the Pandavas at their residence and even stay with them to learn about devotional service. So still, they want to go to see the Pandavas. They're so exalted. Even though Narada is Bhagavad Krishna, Priyatamam, the best and the best and the top, still, he wants to learn. And from the Pandavas, how exalted are the Pandavas? Apart being fit to see the Pandavas, Hanuman Narada should be able to receive from special mercy by rendering some such services as standing guard for them at night. How wonderful to get service and to get menial service, because menial service is an expression of devotion. It's an expression of devotion, because there's no other reason to do it but love. While services that entail position, they can easily be connected to some fruitive desire. So it's always nice, devotees know this, that when there's an exalted soul and you get to do some menial service. Of course, it's nice to take responsibility and make great sacrifice, but it's also nice to take menial service. I remember the day that, at night, very moving when the Prabhupada disappeared, the day he left this world, about, I don't know, in the evening, at that time after, no, it was that same evening that Prabhupada disappeared. I was walking by his house, or I had to give a message to his house, and Pramal Krishnan said, "Can you please clean Prabhupada's rooms?" Because they sent out some devotee to find eucalyptus oil. Prabhupada liked the floors cleaned with, I guess, little eucalyptus oil in the water. And Tamal Krishnamaraj now, who was in charge of those rooms and trying to figure out how to proceed after this difficult situation where the Prabhupada had left, asked me to do that service. So very nice, just to express your devotion in very simple and humble ways. And because it's simple and humble, that type of a devotion can attract the hearts of the person whom you are offering that service to. Because it's really a demonstration of, and it's not just artificial, but it's not you're doing it for that purpose, but it is a demonstration, humble service. I'm just a humble servant. So, and are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Bo, Gail.
Well, first of all, I did laugh out loud at that janitor joke.
You did, huh?
I sure did.
If you ever got a chance to go, well, I knew you were laughing. I was just sad that it, you know, the phones were kind of muted. But he's so funny, Piyari Mohan.
Mm.
And you really get nourished in that temple in many, many ways. You know, first of all, his wife is a great devotee and a great cook, healthy cook. And Piyari is just so funny, you know. Mm. It was just, you know, that was, look who thinks he's nothing. Okay, I like it. Okay.
But you didn't speak there, though, did you?
What's that?
You did not speak there. Did you speak there?
I did. Yeah, of course.
You spoke yesterday?
No, not Sunday, no.
No. Saturday.
Oh, not Saturday. No, I left Saturday morning.
Uh-huh. Well, when did you speak there?
Thursday night and Friday and Saturday morning.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, you remember you were saying earlier that when we glorify those who are more exalted than ourselves,
yeah,
then the result is what again? And
we feel fortunate.
Yeah,
because there's, you know, it's. Again, I guess there's some main themes that I'm honing from this Brihad Bhagavatamrita. I'm not honing, they're there. I'm just trying to mine them. And one mind theme is this kind of conduit that, you know, how the parampara works. And when there's that surrender, submission, inquiry, and glorification, something comes to one. So you feel fortunate. When you feel fortunate, bhagya, when you get opulence, when you get wealth, and the greatest opulence or wealth is devotion. So the opportunity in heart to feelingly glorify someone is a great fortune. It's the most wonderful thing. And it's not easy because we have envy.
Yeah, it's the most fortunate thing because of the devotion that you feel as a result of...
It's because of... You're not looking at for any fruit, but when you love and you respect someone, it's just wonderful to glorify them. Yeah. An opportunity for that, that's your cherished thing. But naturally, so many other things going. It's, in other words, it's not like this thing that's motivated. I am doing this because I want this. But he was just feeling it.
Yeah, I see.
Okay.
Oh, and also, I just missed your explanation of when Hanuman was explaining that Arjuna was dear to him because he brought in something about sister and the flag.
Yeah, yeah. Because Krishna gave his sister in marriage to Arjuna, and his sister was not just an ordinary person. She was the personification. She was the internal potency. And Hanuman himself was feeling fortunate because Arjuna in battle, he put Hanuman on his flag. Kind of the flag in battle. You know, war is a great psychological thing. Sports, war, you know, it's not just the physical effort, it's the psychology and the enthusiasm and the confidence. So, you know, in war, you know, so many things, you know, you blow trumpets, sometimes they have a marching band that would go along with the war, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's different things, and one of them was the flag, you know, who you're representing, who's protecting you. So Hanuman was on the flag. Okay?
Yeah, I just thought you were making some connection between saying that Krishna gave his sister to Arjuna and...
There's no connection. No, it wasn't a connection between those two.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Gail. Anybody else like to say, ask anything? Or just say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Nanda Dulal, Hare Krishna.
Looking forward to see you on long weekend.
What's that?
You'll be there in the long weekend.
Oh, you're going to come to Memorial Day, Panihati, whatever we call it now, I don't know, but you're going to come?
Yes, Maharaj.
Oh, that's so wonderful. And you'll stay over too?
I will try to stay in close by, maybe in the temple I'll stay.
No, but, you know, the Ravals will arrange where you can stay, anybody who goes.
No, there will be a lot of people, you know.
Don't worry about that. They have a lot of congregation people. There's people's homes. They can arrange for anybody to stay.
Yeah, no, I know, but the temple is not far from the...
As you like. But, you know, we have class the following morning.
Yeah, that's why, you know, I wanted to stay very close by, so the temple is 1 hour drive, so...
Oh, okay. As you like. Okay. As you like. It'd be nice to see you.
Thank you, Maharaj.
And Savitri. And, okay, thank you.
When you came here, so...
Yeah, yeah.
So we figured out that we will come there.
Well, next time I come, maybe I'll take my car so I can drive up through... Wherever you're staying. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Govardhan.
Haribo, Govardhan. Hi, thank you for coming on. Every time you're on, every week, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Great. And hope we'll see you up there at that Memorial Day festival at the Rojo. Thank you. Great. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Henry.
Wow, so nice to hear from you, Henry. Thank you. Thank you so much. Good. Great. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay. Of course, there's so many more people out there, but it's not a rule. Who's that?
This is Shastra Das. Great class. Thank you so much.
Oh, Haribo, Shastra. Great. Thanks for coming on. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, we'll end for today. Vanchakalpas through Gishakalpas.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. It's Vegavati.
Oh, great. Hey. Good. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Wonderful class.
I don't know what it is. I felt a little bit more inspired today. You know, when you travel, you sometimes are not in a situation to focus so much, you know.
Yeah,
get late, but it was good. Okay, thank you.
How are you
doing? Good. Anybody else? Okay, thank you all. Hare Krishna.